Okay, we're going to start again with Reish Mem Daled. That's 244 in Yalkut Yosef. Continuing Halachot Shabbat. These are the Halachot that have to do with Melachot that a Goy could potentially use do for a Jew. So we know that Jews are commanded to keep Shabbat, and non-Jews are not commanded to keep Shabbat. So clearly the biggest cheat in the world that anybody could come up with is, they don't have to do it, so I can just have them do everything for me. So the rabbis recognize right away that this is not something that's going to fly. And so it's asur to have a non-Jew do things for you. So I'm going to start with the halachot. We'll start with Aleph. Asola niyach goy la'asot lo malacha b'shavot mein b'chinam bein b'schar. So it's asur to have a non-Jew doing malacha for you on Shabbat, whether you pay them or not. Wahayinu b'schirut yomit abar ha'em goy osa malacha b'kablanu. So this is specifically talking about, le'aniach isn't just having them do malacha for you, it's having them do a project for you. The most common thing that you're going to have is, as he brings up, you know, clothes. Like, I need my laundry done. So you say, you leave it at the, you leave it at the laundromat, and you tell the guy, you know, drop it off. And you drop it off right before Shabbat, and there it is, you know, nice and fresh on your door. So that's asur. But if you have a project, and you say, for example, the example that Rav Avadia says is, you know, making a wedding dress. I need the wedding dress in a week from now. And, you do you. If Shabbat's the best day for you, that's up to you. So you're paying for the project, not for the time on Shabbat, right? Malacha Yomi, Schar Yomi is being paid for the day. You're not paying for the day, you're paying for the project. That's Kablanut, right? Ulevach, lo yomen go la'asot b'Shabbat. V'agam lo yachshov imo l'chi Schar Yomi. Just make sure you don't tell him, you know, do it on Shabbat. You know, you give him the window of time, he does it on his own. Mutar Yisrael levosh ota b'Shabbat. Waf al pi sheyadua l'goy tafar ota v'shleimo b'Shabbat. And this is a massive chidush. Let's say this guy finishes the work on Shabbat. He could bring it over on his own accord, and you could use it on Shabbat, even though somebody knows that it was finished on Shabbat. So that is a big chidush. You would think, oh, he's not allowed to do it. But since he acted on his own, fine. So halacha bet, Okay, so he says one proviso. There's a big difference between your clothes that you leave with him, something that's talush, in other words, something that's disconnected from the ground, and something that's connected to the ground, which there's really a handful of things, lamaaseh, right? Most of us don't own farms, right? So what we're practically talking about is building or large repairs, gardening, stuff like that. And even though, and he's saying that the issue is that somebody's going to think that you actually hired them that day, they're not going to know your physical arrangement, right? You have somebody showing up, they don't know why they're there. It looks, Marayan is not, it looks bad. It, in other words, it looks like you engaged in a malacha when you did not. And there's a couple of issues. And so he brings one of the issues. The issue is that people are going to think, oh, you're doing something else on Shabbat. Because there's two angles on Marayan, right? So conceptually, Marayan is this. You're not supposed to do something that's mutar, but it looks like it's asur. And there's very specific instances. It's not something you can apply blanketly. There's very specific instances that the rabbis bring it down. It's not, you can just apply anything to it. But there's basically two concerns. One, that somebody thinks that you did a malacha when you shouldn't, or you did something asur when you didn't. In general, or somebody's going to see what you did, think that it's mutar, that something is mutar, not realize the difference between what you did and the asur activity, and they'll learn to do shtuyot. Right? Generally speaking, this is not a case of Maradayan, but like you go to McDonald's, right? Maradayan generally doesn't apply because most people know you're in McDonald's, you're going to the bathroom, right? But let's say there's a place with a bad hashkacha. That it's, I'm not going to throw out any names, I don't want to get sued, but you have a place that has a really bad hashkacha, somebody sees you walk in there, they may not realize that the reason you're going in there is for the bathroom. You can't go in there even to use the bathroom. Everybody knows McDonald's is treif. They don't suspect you're going to go have your bacon double cheeseburger or whatever it is. They know you're in there for the bathroom. Maybe you get a fountain soda, something like that. Whatever. They know you're not going in for treif. But something that's sus, they might. And so therefore you stay.
Drink from there.
What I'm saying is if the place is saying the kashed and they're not, you going in is a potential endorsement. Say, no, it really is kashed. So it would be one of those restaurants you shouldn't even go in for the bathroom because somebody isn't going to know you're there for the bathroom. They may think you're genuinely there to eat, and eating there is fine, and therefore they go and eat in that place because they saw you in there.
I mean, particularly, or just a Jew?
Just a Jew.
Don't be so
egocentric that it's just you. It's saying anybody with a kippah, right? You go in with a kippah.
Even though there's others going in with a kippah?
No, so that person... No, but that person... But I'm saying that, like...
You hear?
I'm saying from the standpoint, you know that place is... If you know a place that's advertising themselves as kashed, really isn't, you personally should not go in.
I hear. So you're saying it's not kosher, but it's saying it's kosher. It's a whole different...
Let's say, you know, a conservative rabbi gave a hashkacha on something. There are places. There are a few conservative hashkachot. They're no good. You know, like, and I've talked to some very nice rabbis, but, you know, they're not doing things al pi halacha. That's it. Done.
I wouldn't be able to go inside there even just to get a drink.
Even not to use the bathroom. Because somebody may say, oh, okay, that place is fine. It's not.
I have to choose one. So which one is it? I have to choose one. I have to get one.
So that's the two angles on that issue. Okay. When Heluk was a ben Malach al Yahid, the Malach al Rabim. So it doesn't matter if this is something like this is another one of those big things that there are certain leniencies we have for public good. You know, building a shul is for the rabbi. Maybe you could be Mekeli saying, no, don't even for that. I remember a machloket that happened in a shul not too far away from here, where there was a whole back and forth, and this wasn't even Shabbat. This was Holomoid that the Rav signed off, and, you know, very, very firm Rav. Definitely a bigger posek than me, that's for sure. But he paskined straight up, you know, Alpi Halacha. And then a lot of people objected and said, this is going to be no beracha. And there were so many delays with the construction of the shul, and there were a bunch of other problems. And a lot of people who opposed it, even though Alpi Halacha, he could, like they knocked down the old building to put up a new one. They said, even though, strictly speaking, the halacha said you could do it, there's not beracha. And it was just a much more tedious process than it had to be. So you want to be very careful, even Rabbi, what he's saying. So he's saying, even the at any rate, that's how I translate. If most of the people in the city aren't the minhag is to build houses on Kabbalah Nu, you don't pay them by the day, you pay them by the project, then you can leave them for the goy, the Kabbalah Nu. And that's why, incidentally, we do. Now, let's get to the end of Halakha, and I can kind of tell you what I've seen. Call the poanim shelo hagoyim mekablen schirut yomi mutar leaniach at a goy hakablan naasok b'malechet abinyan bekablanut yom shabbat shekevan shadavar yadua shehagoy also kablanut amin harov b'neyair adata nanav sheker avid v'lo yachashenu so mischiru at shabbat. So again, this is our normal framework. Generally speaking, one person is not putting up a building. They go, maybe they have like, you know, a couple of guys that work for them, and then they have the special contractor, and then they have, you know, a couple of guys they picked up by the train station. And like, most of those guys are getting paid by the day. If the main guy, or, you know, the construction company is being paid on a couple of new basis, that doesn't affect this game. That's the way we work now, right? That, you know, there's a lot of Jews in real estate, right? And the Jews are not the ones who are generally the contractors putting it up. They're generally working with somebody else. They're allowed to have this outside company, this non-Jew, contract with them, and they can work on their own accord. I do know they work whenever they want. Think about this. You have a development. It was American Dream Mall, right? It's the Garmazians, right? You think the Garmazians put on pause on Shabbat? Guys, stop working on this mall. Stop. And to be fair, they may have. I don't know that they didn't. But what Rav Avaya is saying, they didn't have to. They may have, you know, they may be like, we don't want them to be working on Shabbat. I happen to know a Rav who had guys working on his house, and he was building a massive extension on the house, basically at least doubled the square foot on footage on his house, maybe more. And, you know, it was a massive project, and he Like, they put in, like, a whole section, you know. They can, you know, like, use the garage for something, right? And he would stand there, like, right before, you know, like an hour or two before Shabbat. He's like, guys, you better be out of here. He did not want guys working on Shabbat with this hat there. Huh? What Ravaya said is Bismanazet. I'm going to say Bismanazet, but under the normal arrangement of how we build things, Bismanazet, at least in America, it would be fine. There wouldn't be a Myron 9 issue. Everybody knows that, like, it's a contractor situation. Right? You know, it's, you know, we're not, like, out now, Amish country, where they're, like, doing barn raisings. You know? Let's see. Or, you know, you have places in Africa where you could put up a house in a couple of days, just, you know, pat the mud and whatever, you know? Like, that's a house. It works. You know, we're kind of spoiled, right? With our, 2,000 square foot with three bathrooms and a doghouse in the back or whatever, you know?
So, when it comes to pushing off upwards down, which is worse than pushing off.
All right. I won't belabor the point. I say I won't belabor the point. You know? Gimel. Imschad and Anochri, Bekablanu, Lassop, and Malacha, but Omar and Shiasa with Shabbat, very good, Tomakom, Lassom and Achal, so Bekablanu, Mutar. So if he hires a goy on Kablanu, you know, a project, to do some kind of Malacha, and he doesn't tell him to do it on Shabbat, and it's normal kind of thing to be done by Kablan Mutar. So let's see what he gives. Kegon, for example. Mishia banana beto neshalo ted afa b'rachov nipne lifne petach abaye v'skada nanochri b'kablanut b'yom rachov shifne da afa kulo v'skada katsuv. For the katzav lo mahed yomi lefi zman shesem melacha and anochi ba lefnot rafar efer be shabbat ain't zrich lemchol biyado after kol yadaim shaafar shelo shel yisrael im kol ze kol yadaim shein dar kana makom ze lefnot rafar b'schil yom im lekabelnu. Again, very common construction related issue. You're doing demo, fill up a dumpster, guys come by, take it. It's known that you don't hire them for the day. You hire the dumpster guys and they do their dumpster thing and they do it whenever they do it. If they decide to bring in their truck on Shabbat, they can bring in their truck on Shabbat.
It's like these guys that clean the lawn. They know already this Jewish neighborhood is not doing this Shabbat.
So that would be a very good example. You have these guys, you know, who drive around, they do everybody's property. They're working 7 days a week.
Right.
And they determine the schedule when they want to hit each place. So they're doing it for their own thing, right? You pay them by the month, and they go and do their thing. So it's interesting because, you know, is that Yomi or is that Kablanut? I would assume it's Kablanut, right? You're paying them
for a month.
What?
Paying
them
for the month.
Yeah. You're paying them for the month that the place should be clean. In theory, let's say you had a month where there really was no growth whatsoever, they ain't gonna do anything. I mean, that's not real life, but in other words, you just, like, make my property look pretty. Make my property look pretty. Right, they do all that stuff, but they're not asking you when they come. That, you know,
no, they show up.
They just show up whenever it works for them. As opposed to a mate, for example, you listen to the wives humbling, like, I want the Thursday. I want the Friday. Can you come earlier in the week? They're like having a whole, like, they want it for that day. Right? That's a very good example of Skirt Yomi that, like, the housekeeper. You know, that becomes a very sketchy matzav. You're only hiring this person to come on Shabbat. That we already discussed really should be a problem. We'll see if Rav Avadia touches it, because that's like the most common thing. Housekeepers, nurses' aides, babysitting. I wonder, you know, like, babysitting, I think we're a little more mekel, because we kind of consider it like, I guess, kind of pay, but kind of gift. Like, a guy in the neighborhood, me and my daughter for 2 hours, and like, the amount he gave her for 2 hours, we were like, dude, you know, that's really generous. Like, it's not pay for an actual, it's a gift that like, thank you, you bailed me out. You know, when you're paying a babysitter, like, a lot of times, like, what is the babysitter doing? Like, the kids are asleep, they're not doing anything, they're literally on their phone for 2 hours, and you're paying them, but it's a gift, but it gives them the concept of responsibility. Right? I mean, it's work, but we definitely pay more than the service they're providing.
Right.
You know, so babysitting is already a little more like, you know, it seems to be treated even halachically a little differently, just because, like, we know what's up. You know, and to my knowledge, huh? Like, it's a job, but, you know.
I guess it depends.
Yeah. I'm not talking like a posik when I say that. I'm just saying like the general attitude. You know, if you like actually watch the interactions and like how babysitting things go down, you know, how that attitude plays out halachically is definitely something we'll explore. But the attitude towards babysitting versus other professions, like an actual like homemade, is very different. Like, you give them hours and then they have to have breaks, and it's like, that's not what happens with the kids. Like, you know, home aid, you would be furious if you came in and they weren't giving attention, they were watching on the TV instead. Right? You know, So let's move on to Dalid. We're good? I don't want to push. Do you want to? Be harashot apol elan edinem echonot automatid lo lutzrach b'magadam v'yesh hechrach v'amshich pe'olot ha'mechonot gam shabdom mo'adim ben harashot nimsa rachot סגור מבחוץ ושתי נגוי סחר גם נעבד על כל ימים. So it's talking about different if I'm remembering correctly, this is the laundromat case. Why I'm blanking on the word Harashot, I'm going to be a little upset with myself. But essentially, you know, the laundromat model is, you know, the machines run without, you know, human intervention. They're just kind of watching to make sure that the machines work. This is going to be a lot more shayach coming up with, you know, you got your Roomba, your AI, you know, we're all going to be replaced by robots. And then it's just a question, you know, if the goy can keep everything, you know, just watch to make sure stuff doesn't break down. So what he's saying is that there is room to be matir these non-Jewish workers to continue doing this. As long as as business is closed from outside and you pay them what we call schar v'lua, like you pay them a weekly check, you don't pay them for the day. Right? That so it's saying that you can also buy stuff from this place, but you should set aside tzedakah on the value of the work on Shabbat. Ve'im sharei bera harashot pituchot v'nikar la'ovrim v'shavim o sheyesham mafkech yehudi ein nativ zeh. But if there are other places open and it's obvious, you know, people are going in, going out, and that it's a Jewish place, then you can't allow this. There are some people who even allow in this situation, right? So, you know, you can make the argument that they can just go somewhere else. You have to take the hint and be closed. Some say, saying for that there's room to be mekel for the mitzvah of Eretz Israel, of settling Israel. In other words, there's going to be certain heterim that are going to come up over and over and over again, that you can actually be more mikel in Israel than you can be here by Malachot, a bunch of different areas. We would think, Eretz Israel, it's the place to be most machmir on things. But no, you have another consideration that anything you do to make settling Eretz Israel more difficult, so that's a competing consideration, and therefore you can be make on this in order to to do that. Yisrael in the Yehudi sheyesh lahem isik b'shut b'ut. Ve'en efsharu l'skola askol Shabbat tzichim l'tano miyad mitchilat asir ha'esek sheyeschar b'Shabbat le'en yon levado v'schar yom echad k'neged yom Shabbat l'Yisrael levado. So if you have a business that needs to be open on Shabbat and you have a partnership with a non-Jew, the most common arrangement is to simply, they take Shabbat, you take Sunday, right? Let's say you decide you want a Dave and Buster's, because that would be very cool to have a Dave and Buster's, no? I'd love to have a Dave and Buster's. Go in there, right? So, but clearly if you're not open on Shabbat, for Dave and Buster's, you're going to have some problems, especially outside of Israel. In Israel, people are more forgiving, but here, like, forget it. So, yeah. So I've heard a number of different arrangements of how you do this. A very interesting arrangement that I saw. There's a restaurant that I saw. The guy is open 24/7, and even on Pesach, and he doesn't have to sell his hametz. How could that be? He essentially has the entire business set up that he's a creditor to his business partner who's not Jewish, and like the whole thing is treated like a one big loan that the guy keeps paying back. And therefore he's able to stay open and he doesn't even have to do Mefir Chametz. It's a very interesting arrangement. I'm not quite sure all the details, but the person who did it happens to be like a very, very big Talmid Chacham. So it's completely reliable. I know who did it, but the general way of doing it is you swap out days. But if the Schar on Shabbat is a lot, and at the time that you set up the business, the guy is willing to give you a piece, that's mutar. So he's giving other ideas how you could do this portioning out, because there are businesses where it's really easy to figure out what you made on Shabbat, and there are businesses where it's not so easy. If you have, you know, a service business, you have Dave and Buster's, you know exactly how much you made for the day. You just look at the register, see how many sales. You have something else like, I guess, you know, housing or whatever. I don't know. Like you, when you, I guess when you have like a realtor, right? Like just because somebody, you know, worked and showed houses on Shabbat doesn't mean that you can really treat the sale. Like let's say you closed on Tuesday, but you met with the guy on Shabbat. Can you really say, oh, this is Tuesday income as opposed to Shabbat income? Gets much more sketchy than what you can do in that kind of situation. You have a business that's more like that, then you just can kind of like cut it up. Like, what he's saying is like the goy will first take a seventh of all the income, and then you figure out how to cut up the rest. And you just kind of like, you know, kind of a brayer situation. We're just going to treat the 1/7 of the money is Shabbat money, right? Because in a certain sense, you know, money is fungible, right? And so that's another way.
What's it called? The name.
Name of what?
Contract that you make Shabbat. Be
I don't remember. Has it? You're thinking of a Heter Iska, possibly. A Heter Iska is what enables a Jew to loan to another Jew with interest involved. So I don't know that there's a specific name other than a shtar. A shtar is a document. It can be any document. It can be a shtar kedushin. It could be a shtar chayrut. It can be a shtar girushin. You know, a dollar bill is a shtar. It's what it is. And in fact, I have a dollar bill lying around in my box from pre-64 or whatever it was. And it says, you know, redeemable for a dollar's worth of silver. Right? Our dollar bills don't say that anymore because they're just fiat. But once upon a time, it was tied to a physical asset. And that's a real shtar. You know, you take that dollar bill and go to the treasury.
Okay, that's Zagbaro.